The following talk was presented on the 26th of February 2023 by spiritual leader Rhonda Murray and is entitled The Elephant in the Living Room.
All right. I want to start my talk on the elephant in the living room with a video that rather takes my fancy about a little girl on an aeroplane. Thanks, Julian.
An atheist was seated next to a little girl on an airplane, and he turned to her and said, "Do you want to talk? Flights go quicker if you strike up a conversation with your fellow passengers." The little girl, who had just started to read her book, replied to the total stranger, "What would you like to talk about?" "Oh, I don't know," said the atheist. "How about why there is no God, or no heaven or hell, or no life after death?" As he smiled smugly. "Okay," she said, "those could be interesting topics, but let me ask you a question first. A horse, a cow, and a deer all eat the same stuff, grass. Yet a deer excretes little pellets, while a cow turns out a flat patty, but a horse produces clumps. Why do you suppose that?" The atheist, visibly surprised by the little girl's intelligence, thinks about it and says, "I have no idea." To which the little girl replies, "Do you really feel qualified to discuss God, heaven and hell, or life after death when you don't know shit?"
Good lesson, and if somebody's reading on an airplane, don't read. I'm sure we've all been in situations where no one wants to discuss a particular issue or situation, even though it needs discussing. The saying, the elephant in the living room, refers to a problem or controversial issue which is obviously present but is avoided as a subject for discussion. And the saying dates back to early 19th century Russia, so it's been around for a while. By the way, what do you call an ignored elephant? An irrelevant. So why do we avoid an important issue? It might be embarrassing or perhaps hurtful. It might cause discussion. Perhaps we just go along with something that we feel uncomfortable about but don't like to be the one to speak up. Usually the best way to deal with such issues is to bring them out in the open and agree to hear the different points of view. So the irrelevant becomes a manageable relevance. The elephant in the room can represent personal issues that we don't want to look at. Perhaps situations that make us angry, but we repress the anger and try to keep smiling. Like a pressure cooker that doesn't have a steam release. It has to blow up eventually, or it causes illness inside. That's a bit of a mixed metaphor, wasn't it? Medical science is showing that unresolved grief or anger can cause damage to our health. One study suggests that cancer often occurs around 2 years after a challenge that has been stuffed down rather than dealt with. This could be grief or a conflict or perhaps a betrayal. Sometimes we have internal elephants, those thoughts or beliefs that really need our attention, but we ignore them and hope to forget them. Perhaps we don't want to deal with the grief or perhaps the anger that facing the issues may bring up. Our inner struggles are portrayed in the Hebrew scriptures as wars, the Israelites fighting other tribes or even within their own tribes. They fought the Canaanites for control of the promised land, and then they fought the Philistines over border disputes for many years. And you'll remember the story of David and Goliath. The Israelites symbolize our spiritual journey, and all the surrounding tribes represent different aspects of negativity within our consciousness. Remember, history is always written by the victors. The Philistines metaphysically symbolize forces foreign to spirit, and Goliath represents not just a small or ordinary challenge to our spiritual growth, but a big problem. The Metaphysical Bible Dictionary tells us his name means conspicuous and explains ideas are not all of the same importance. Some are large and strong, and some are weak and small. There are aggressive, domineering ideas of era, like Goliath, that parade themselves prominently, brag about their power, and with fearful threats of disaster, keep us frightened into submission to their unrighteous reign. Thank you, Charles. That's really telling it as it is in the MDD. Our struggles may come from our spiritual self fighting to overcome old thinking and negative emotions. Unless we deal with inner and outer challenges, we set up an inner war. It's easy to push down negative emotions like anger, frustration, hopelessness. But we need to get them out into the open, get in touch with any inner anger and hurt so we can let it go. Then we can be open to guidance as to what action we need to take in the outer. That reminds me of the man in the wheelchair who decided to visit Lourdes to ask to be healed. As he wheeled himself into the water, there was a flash of lightning. Those around him cried out in excitement, "Now you can walk." He dried out his legs, but alas, he still couldn't walk. Then he noticed that his wheelchair had new tires.
Oh, thank goodness.
Thursday night's email contained a quote from Charles Fillmore. Jesus ruled his own spirit. Through Christ, we are learning to rule our own spirits, to gain mastery over every word and thought on the soul plane and on the physical plane. His presence right in our midst inspires us with new ideas, incites us to go forward to achieve. On the subject of Jesus' healing, my attention was caught by the words of Matthew chapter 4 from verse 23. The writer of Matthew wrote of Jesus teaching in the synagogues in Galilee and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, and he cured them. So let's know that the Christ presence is still at work in Syria, in all those remote towns that have been devastated in the last couple of weeks, and in Turkey. And know that omnipresence is healing hurts, physical and emotional, for all those affected by the earthquake. To return to the elephant in the internal room, awareness is the first step in any process of change. We can't change anything that we're in denial about, that we're not coming into full awareness of. So how do we release hidden inner issues? Our annual burning bowl is a good example. Write down whatever is bothering you, or whatever comes through your inner guidance, and burn or even flush the paper, saying that issue no longer has any power over you. Then write an affirmation based on empowering yourself to take whatever action is required in the outer. When I first came into Unity, I spent a lot of time sitting at the beach with pad and pens, pens plural, because I used to break quite a few when I really got into the feelings of repressed anger. I would write and write regardless of what emotions came up, anger, sadness, grief, frustration. I got rid of a lot of old childhood stuff and also more recent or current adult stuff. I repeated the process after my husband died some years later, and I have to confess many times since. So don't wait for a burning bowl ceremony. It can be done at any time. If you can't make time for a big process to release stuff, take a biro into the smallest room in the house so that you can jot down whatever's on your mind, one or two things that occur to you, and flush them on the spot. So, time to check for elephants, big ones or small. However, I don't like making elephants represent negative situations. For our affirmation, sorry, for our meditation, I want to introduce it with a poem that turned up on Unity Online recently by Margaret Flick called Walk Gently on the Earth. And I have taken the proportion, I have taken the license, thank you, to change the word God to spirit, but choose whatever you like. I just prefer to use spirit so that we're not thinking about God walking up there around up there in the heavens somewhere. So give your body permission to relax. And just let the words of this lovely poem wash over you. When you want to feel the majesty of spirit, look to the stars and moon. When you want to see the beauty of spirit, study a flower. When you want to feel the peace of spirit, walk in an old forest or befriend a tree. When you want to feel the power of spirit, go to the ocean or watch a fast-moving river. When you want to hear the voice of spirit, listen to the birds sing and the wind blow. When you want to feel the love of spirit, be in the presence of a friendly animal who loves you unconditionally. Knowing God is present in all of creation, we pray to walk gently upon the earth. As we turn within, we can call on these various attributes of spirit, the spirit within us, deep within our own consciousness, we can find beauty and peace and power and love. And life. We can feel that life force flowing through every cell of the body, healing and renewing. We take our attention to our heart center. We can feel the vibration of love, the warmth around the heart center. As we know that gift of love within us. And we send that love out from wherever we are into the atmosphere. We send it to those who are dear to us, to those who are facing challenge at this time. We send peace to the areas of the world where peace is hard to find, even though we can know it is there, because peace is part of omnipresence. And so we affirm peace on earth. Love in our lives. And life in every part of our body temple. Let's sit in the silence for a couple of minutes, enjoying that peace and love and light within us. As we gently bring our attention back to where we're sitting, let's do so with an attitude of gratitude, with a feeling of thanksgiving as we think of all the blessings in our lives. Loving spirit, we do give thanks for all that makes our lives wonderful and joyful. And satisfying. For our loved ones, for our inner health and our outer health. We say thank you. Thank you. Thank you.